Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
And I'll do it again, and live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey, we are your weekly three-hour get-together. Every Thursday night here on the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios. Guys, welcome to Thursday night, August the 5th, and our 7th annual Hard Rock and Sports NFL Training Camp Show. Okay, this is our 7th anniversary, and I can't believe I've been doing this for 7 years. Started out in my wife's sewing room, putting the show together every week. First show was 2 hours long, couldn't do 45 minutes. I did 45 minutes, had to shut the show down. Because I had nothing else to talk about. And how far we've come in 7 years. We've had some amazing guests. Geezer Butler. We've had K.K. Downing. Jeff Tate. Tommy John. Carmine Appice. Vinny Appice. Or Peace. I don't know which one they go by. We've had over almost 150-something guests. Local, national. We've had Rick Emmett from Triumph. All the guys over at Offer Records. Westlake. All the bands, After the Fall, Mick Michaels, Bobby Gustafson, ex-Overkill. So many guys, Foghat, oh man, drawing a blank on those guys. Again, we've had so many guests on the show, I can't even begin to say thank you. So on our 7th year anniversary, I got to thank a few people before the show really kicks in. First off, thanks to Jimmy Galicchio, he did the original theme song, which plays before every show. Thanks to my brother Rich, who did the intro. Still use those to this day. And thank you for being the inspiration for the show, Rich, and pushing me to do it. Thanks to Joe Ganzis, Nick Marino, big love, Nick, who are the original producers of the Hard Rock and Sports Show over the past 7 years. I've handled the reins the last couple of years myself. Again, thanks to my partner in crime, my dear friend, and my brother from some other mother, Jeff Tonwinski, for being my co-host for the last 5-plus years. Thanks to my wife for putting up with my crap and doing this every Thursday night. And again, thanks to all of you guys who have supported us along the way, all the different charities we've helped and who have helped us, you know, create a name for ourselves. So hopefully we'll do this a little while longer. Who knows, maybe someday a talent scout will reach down and pluck Jeff and I from the bowels of obscurity. But if they don't, no big deal. We come here every Thursday night. Live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We do this every Thursday night until they pull the plug. But we got a lot to get to. I see my dad popped up. I want to get a minute with my dad. I see two of the boys from Barstools and Band Talk, and then John Mahep could be joining us soon. Again, guys, thanks for tuning into the Hard Rock and Sports Show. We love having you. I hope you guys have had a great week. Lots to talk about tonight. We got a lot of sports. We got a lot of COVID stuff. I got to sneak that in somewhere along the line. It's going to creep into sports again. And Mayor Jerkoff in New York City sleepy, creepy Uncle Joe. All those guys are, I don't know. Let's get to my dad quick and then get the guys from Barstools on. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys?
Just me tonight so far. Yeah. Dad, Jeff's checking in later. What's going on?
Not that much. We want to be the first to congratulate you and your wife on your anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, Pops. Yes, we have 11 years for me and my beautiful bride. Yep.
Wow,
absolutely.
Yes.
Just 11 years.
Congratulate the Yankees on the trade that they made.
Great job. You got to love the Rizzo trade. I like the Gallo trade. I'll think that'll come through, but I love what Rizzo's done, Dad.
I'm just curious on what they're going to – they haven't decided what they're going to do with Voit.
I think – well, I heard Boone today being interviewed, and it sounds like they're going to leave him as long as they possibly can. There is a time limit. He could stay in the minors, and then they'll bring him up, and he's going to come off the bench. I mean, that's just it. I don't see it. Unless there's an injury along the way, I just don't see him doing anything else other than that, Dad.
Well, I don't know how happy he's going to be about it.
Listen,
the home run champ last year.
Third time on the DL this year, Dad. He ain't hitting. Knocking the crap at the ball. Hey.
I agree with you. I mean, if you gave me a pick, I mean, I said all along, I thought that he should be gone. I agree, Pops.
I agree. So we'll see. I mean, I think that's the least. I think the least of their worries is if they can't find a place for Luke Voit on the field. So I don't think that's gonna matter. But you gotta love the way they're playing baseball, scoring runs. The pitching's been good. You know, let's see. Who knows? Maybe we make a season out of it anyway. What do you think?
I think they got a good shot. The only thing that's scaring me now is their pitching. I mean, before their pitching was great. Now they're actually bringing guys up from AAA.
Well, Cole's got COVID. Somebody else just went down with COVID, another pitcher. So, they're running out of pitchers right now. Hopefully Severino's going to be back in a couple weeks, and Kluber also. So, you know, this might turn into a blessing. Got some fresh arms coming around before September and make a run. You know, last 50-some games, you got to win 30. Yeah, well, maybe 35 of them. And you go 35-16. And you're a playoff team.
Well, Boston seems to be coming back down to earth.
Yeah.
And so does seem to be the Mets. After tonight could be a half a game in front.
The Mets have a tough series. Listen, the Mets have no pitching, their offense is anemic. They can't score runs.
And I still say they're having more trouble with his name than they're letting on.
McCone? I mean, DeGrom? DeGrom. Yeah.
Because anytime you get a picture where his arm is sore, there's more to it than what they're telling you.
I couldn't agree with you more, Pops. I couldn't agree with you more. So we'll see. I mean, listen, they're saying he'll be back in September. Maybe too late by then. Whatever. You know, it is what it is. So we'll see what happens. I mean, but, let's enjoy the Yankees. They're about to kick it off. I got the Yankee game up on the screen. Tonight's a big series with the Mariners. They're trailing the Mariners in the second wild card spot, so it's a big series.
Should be very interesting.
Absolutely.
Well, now they have the choice. Everything's in front of them. So if they go to – they got a shot for the wild card, definitely, and I think they got a good shot for first place because I think Boston is eventually going to start, which they're doing now, coming back.
Need 35 wins. 35 wins probably gets you close to 90. You're almost 90 wins at that point. Probably wins the division, but – long way off. We got a whole half a season still going on here. Still 50 games going on. We'll see how it plays out, Pops.
Damn, see what's going on, man.
Yep.
So what else is new? Nothing?
That's it, Pops. Everything's good. Just got a big show. There's the little boys checking in. Hey, guys, everybody on Facebook, kicking in. Give it a few minutes. Got the boys from Barstools and Band Talk warming up in the bullpen. We'll get them on in a minute.
Nice.
Barstools and Band Talk. You love these guys.
Barstool, Dave.
So.
All right, I'm going to let you go.
Thanks, Pops.
And enjoy the rest of your night. And, again, wish both of you a happy Wicklow anniversary. You both deserve.
Thanks, Pops. Thank you, Pops.
Appreciate
it.
Talk to
you later,
buddy.
You got it.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's my dad. He checks in every week with us. Love having him on the show. Thanks to all the guys. Wishes happy anniversary. Patrick Digger. Yes, Patrick, the Mets suck. But, you know what, guys? Let's switch off of sports for a few minutes. Get my good friends from Barstools and Band Talk. I love having roundtables with these guys. They're super knowledgeable musicians and music lovers. So let's get Dave and Sean right here on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Welcome up, boys.
How you doing?
I'm having a good time, man.
Thanks for having us on, brother. Thanks for having us on.
No.
I love that whole sequence there with your dad. That was awesome. I can just imagine when you guys were growing up, the conversation that would have been on the tables. You and your brother and your dad all talking.
I get my love of music and sports from my dad. My mom's not the biggest music person, and she hates sports, But my dad is a big music lover, and you know, we grew up in a house with listened to nothing but Elvis and a lot of the doo-wop guys of the 50s. And then my dad turned me on when I was a baby to sports. So I get it all from him, and I usually open up every show starts with my dad. I give him he loves it. He does this every week. And if he doesn't, he calls me up and he apologizes. So nothing better than having a few minutes to talk sports with your dad.
That's awesome.
But guys, how you doing, Sean?
I'm doing fantastic. Tommy, how are you?
Okay. Listen, we got a lot to talk about. Oh, before I forget, guys, one more thing. The new underwear will make another appearance this week. Jeff has requested the new underwear. We have to discuss the, my wife bought me these new underwear that have a sack for your sack.
Ah, sack.
And it didn't work out so good the first time I wore them. It was a lot of pinching and some puddling. So, Jeff, we have a guest coming on later who we're going to challenge to see if what underwear he's wearing. But anyway, the underwear is going to make another appearance. It was a big event a couple weeks ago. So
Trust me, once you figure them out, they will change your life.
You're maybe right. I haven't figured them out. All I got was a lot of pinching and squeezing. So we're just letting everybody out there know. But so, guys, so let's start with this. So I talk about you guys on the show. I love doing the roundtable with you guys. Yeah, it's so much fun getting together. But tell everybody, because I've had some people ask me, so I want you guys to explain. What is Barstool and Band Talk?
Well, good question. Go ahead. I guess.
Well, so it was basically last year when everything shut down, we were just trying to figure out a way to not go shack wacky in our houses. So Dave and I was doing a radio show, a community radio show about sports, oddly enough.
Okay.
And everything shut down. So I got the idea to start, hey, I've got all kinds of musical friends. Let me get them some press. So we started interviewing them, and then Dave and I kind of started doing it together. And we thought, well, hey, let's start a Facebook page, and we'll just promote artists that we grew up around Atlanta, Canada, mm-hmm. listening to and idolizing. And it started out pretty, you know, pretty modestly and you know, quickly kind of kept going. And then we got Miss Darby Mills on the show, who used to play with the Headpins. And she was the one that really spun it out of control for us, where we just started getting everybody and anybody. And it's just basically what it is. It's an interview show. It's a comedy show. It's a place for people to exchange ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole lot of fun.
Absolutely, Dave. And what was the inspiration for the name and getting it off the ground? And how do you guys decide on content, Dave? Tell me how you guys, you know, here I decide on content. Jeff shows up on Thursday nights, you know, has no idea what we're going to talk about, and I spend a week. Dave, how do you guys, first off, tell us where the name came from, but also, you know, how do you guys come up with your content for the week?
This is a funny story, and I don't know if this story's ever been told, Tommy, so you're going to get an exclusive here.
Oh, listen to that. We got an exclusive here at the Hard Rock and Sports Show. I love it. Love it.
Sean and I had 1,000 different names we were throwing around because we knew what we wanted. We wanted the complete maritime bucket, a music bucket list. And then we wanted the complete arts and entertainment bucket list. We wanted something with arts and entertainment, promoting live music, talking about, you know, the premise is like if Sean and I were sitting in a bar, we'd be talking to our friends about, hey, what did you do lately? Remember this, what happened years ago? Ha, ha, ha. What are you going to do in the future? It's just that kind of premise. Mm-hmm. So we kind of used this generator and it came up for our Souls and Band Talk, the complete music or maritime music bucket list. It's like, oh, we'll go with that. So we're not going to pay royalties, sorry, but that's how that came about. And now we have a cool logo. Might say that's a brand new shirt. You're going to see it right now the first time.
Nice.
This is a bad job. There's the 160 people that we talked to in the last year and a half.
Wow.
On the tour shoot. So that's the kind of thing that we started back in April of 2020. And more is from a content perspective, I guess we were kind of monitoring everything pretty quickly because it took about a month before we hit 300 people. We thought we were doing great. Now we're almost 6,000 people strong. The content just keeps coming in. So we had to kind of filter. We have a team now that helps us moderate it and make sure everything's kind of, you know, everything's copacetic. We don't want to offend anybody and we mm-hmm. want to make sure everyone's playing nicely. We never want to have this to be a negative site. We wanted people to come here and have a positive experience, to Sean's point, and just a place to kind of escape from all the crap that was going on in the mm-hmm. world, right? So the content comes in. I mean, we have, well over 150,000 different comments and reactions from different people that come in. So we just kind of, it's a monster we started. We can't stop now.
And you shouldn't stop it. And you know what, guys, I'll tell you, when I sat down I was talking to my brother when I came up with the idea for the show, and he said, what would you want to talk about? And I said, I'll have to talk about sports or music. And he said, why not do both? Great. And the premise of the show was two guys sitting at a bar just talking. And when I go out with my buddies, you know, 1 minute we're talking about baseball, and then three steps later, we got the new presidents being elected. You know, the conversation goes any which way, and that's kind of how the show works. Yeah. You know, I got a bunch of premises, and then we kind of just see where it goes from there. So I love the premise. Sean, when Dave's talking about 160 people and you interviewed, has there been a guest? I've interviewed some people that were idols of mine. You know, Rick Emmett was a guy that growing up I loved, and I find it there's a thing when you're interviewing, you almost want to be the fan to tell them how much you love them, but you're trying to be professional. Have you run into a guest so far where you kind of step back and said, all right, how do I get through this because I'm a huge fan? How do I get through this?
For me, no, only because when we first started, like we had Todd Zuckerman on from Styx, drummer Styx. Huge, huge idol of mine. I love the guy. Just a great guy. And I made the comment to him before we started. I don't want to be like Chris Farley interviewing Paul McCartney on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
So I've always been mindful to not do that. And, you know, I watched that movie Hired Gun and Liberty DeVito. And people are tired of me saying this, but I said, if I could spend 5 minutes talking to that man, I could quit. And he was fantastic and just a down-to-earth guy. This is a guy that's done more in his life musically, and just so awesome. We had the opportunity to interview Eric Martin for Mr. Big a couple of weeks ago. And so we're done, and we're like, Eric, we want to be respectful of your time. And he goes, well, I don't have anywhere to be until my son's basketball game in 3 hours. We sat around for another hour and a half. So it's so cool, and I don't say it that much anymore because it's just I don't feel I need to, but I used to say it's so nice when you meet one of your heroes and they're not a-holes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you mentioned Rick Emmett, I tell you. We had Rick on the show, and I had the opportunity to get to know him a little bit when I was living in Toronto, and I opened for him a couple times. And just what a gentleman.
Oh.
I mean, he's an icon. And it continues to blow me away when Dave and I talk to folks down where you are, south of the border of us, that they know these people, because these are people that we grew up listening to and idolizing.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know April Wine?
Sure.
You know Triumph? Like, it just blows me away. So, I don't get too caught up in that.
No, Dave, I saw you shaking your head early. Is it a different thing for you? Was it different for you?
No.
No?
Like, it's so true. And, like, and Sean's being, you know, respectful, but, I mean, like, the premise was we didn't want to embarrass anybody. And we didn't want to be embarrassed, you know, because it's funny because I talked about the maritime music scene when we first started this whole, the whole Barstools and Band Talk. That's where, you know, we're from Atlantic Canada, the maritime region of Canada. And the folks who are, have some other success here kind of shunned us, you know what I mean? So we were going to run out of content, run out of interviews pretty quickly. So we kind of went outside of Nova Scotia, outside of Halifax, outside of the Maritime Provinces, outside of Ontario, and we started talking to, you know, like Canadian icons, not only Canadian icons, but to Sean's point, Todd Zuckerman, Liberty DeVito, there's so many, Eric Martin, like so many people that we talked to that aren't even, pardon me?
I said Ron Keel.
Ron Keel, another big one. You know, and some of the guys from the RFL have been a great, partnership we've had with RFL Records and some of the cool stuff that they're coming out of. You know, again, we would never have found them had it not been for this site. But we just go out of our way to be respectful of the people. Sean and I are musicians. We've been on the road. We've been in the vans. We've done that deal. Mm-hmm. We've all stayed in the shitty band houses. We all ate the rotten craft dinner. Sean has a great story with making craft dinner or a t-shirt and a hot water bottle is going to find. But we've all done that stuff. So we can, you know, I guess... We can relate to where they've been.
Okay.
So when we talk to them, it's like talking to a friend, and I think they get that right away. It's never embarrassing. We're not going to ask any tough questions. Let's just share your story. That's all we want to do.
And I'll just add, Tommy, that I think Dave and I are both blessed in the fact that when we were coming up, when we were younger, we had some of the best rock clubs in Canada, in Halifax. Yeah. And so we were very fortunate that we got to open for a lot of these folks and meet them. And so the whole Glee sort of fanny thing, I got over that in my 20s, and now that I'm in my 30s, no, I'm just kidding. I don't get too hung up on it anymore. And again, it's so cool. You I mean, Eric Martin, yeah, you know, he just, what a, I grew up listening to that man. What a resume. And it, you meet those folks and it's just like, wow, they're just people that happen to have a little success and they remember where they came from.
Oh, absolutely. And that's listen, right. And it's so much fun. Like we've had Billy Sheehan on the phone, on the show a couple of times, I think three times. And the guy couldn't be nicer. And he treats you like, and when he treat you like a gentleman, like that, listen, we've had Jeff Tate on the phone, on the show three or four times. And it was like pulling teeth and not a bad guy. Obviously one of my favorite singers of all time from one of my favorite bands in Queensryche.
Yep.
But you know, when they're like, Geezer Butler couldn't have been a nicer human being. Like, just went out of his way to be nice to us. The same thing for Billy Sheehan and Dave Menichetti from Y&T. So many guys. But, you know, the one guy that got me, I don't know if you guys are big hockey fans, but 1980 Olympics, Mike Ruzzioni, captain of the U.S. team. I got him on the show right around the 25th anniversary of the 35th, I think it is. And I told him, listen, I'm going to interview you as professionally as possible, but I am shaking because you are one of my idols growing up. It was one of those guys who changed my life as a kid. I got into hockey and I wanted to be Mike Ruzzioni. And when he called me on the phone before the interview to talk, I was like, blown away. So from this end of the day, I am not that professional. I will let my fandom get in the way sometimes.
Well, I want to tell you a really great story. It's a hockey story. I was playing a bar in Halifax a number of years ago, and there was a bunch of NHL old-timers in there playing against the police officers and stuff. So we're playing at the bar, and this guy walks in, and he's got the handlebar mustache. He's like, I think I know him, but I'm not sure. So anyway, we finish our set. We go upstairs. He walks up, and he goes, guys, I'd just like to say, what a great band you have. I'm a guitar player. My name is Brian Trottier.
Wow.
And he sat down and hung out, and he stayed the whole night. He signed everything that everybody put forward. 10 months later, he's back in town. I didn't know it. I'm going to get up on the stage and I hear, hey, Sean, how's it going? I look back, and it's Brian Trottier again.
That's and cool stuff.
Six time.
Uh-huh.
Stanley Cup champ.
Yeah, listen, I hated him. I hated him my whole youth. He was an Islander and then a Pittsburgh Penguin, and I hated Trottier, but what a great hockey player.
Another funny story. So at the time, my son, who's now 23, was about 8, and they got to go on for 2 minutes, you know, 50 kids on the ice. And anyway, my son goes in and friggin' roof one on Billy Smith.
Oh.
And so later on at the bar, I said, hey, Billy, that was my kid that did that. He goes, that little. Anyway,
dirty.
You know what? It's so cool when you meet these guys and they're you know, they're nice. I mean, now probably one of the worst experiences I have, and I won't say who it is, but the name rhymes with Lars Ulrich, and I met him 3 or 4 times.
Not a big fan over here either. Not a big fan over here either. Go ahead.
Well, and you know what? Fantastic drummer. You know, people have their opinions on Lars, but let's just say what it is. The guy's super successful. Mm-hmm. But I will give him this: he was consistent. 4 times I met him, he was the same guy 4 times. So take that for
one. Yeah, listen. Here's what I say: if you're an asshole, be an asshole, right? If just be who you are. Don't pretend. Don't give me the, you know. But it's tough, and I say all the time to Jeff whenever we get this stuff, you just never know what you're gonna get, and it's I get the fear a lot of times when I get a chance to talk to an interview. These guys, and I say, please, please, please be a nice guy because I've always liked this guy. George Foreman called me. I sent him an email on a Sunday night. On a Monday morning, George Foreman calls me from the dentist chair to set up an interview. I mean, I'm like, yeah, so, you know, you just pray that these are good guys. But listen, we're not here to give you my thoughts. I want to get more on you guys. And listen, you guys, beside all the music stuff, like you got the side hustle going on. You also do a lot of charity stuff, and I commend you on that stuff. But tell me a little bit about Side Hustle. Tell me a little bit about what the other things you guys got coming up. That, you know, I see you got some events coming up. You got a birthday party coming up. Dave, talk to me a little bit.
But Side Hustle was a band that kind of stemmed out of Sean. It's funny because actually a picture showed up about 3 months ago. It was like one of those Facebook memories. And I hadn't seen Sean, physically seen Sean in person for about 15 years. But he and I were best friends, you know, back in when we were 15, 16 years old. We played in bands till we were 18, 19. We, you know, we went different ways, different bands. We reunited back in year 2000. I, that's kind of what I do. And then 20 years later, here we are again. Between Dispersals and Bantot together, and Sean said, we should do something. They do a little band. I said, yeah, so I had some friends, and he had some friends. We could put the things together. And then started to morph into something a little bit more more serious than what we originally anticipated. And we have some great players in this band. We have a six-piece band, two guitar players, a keyboard player, Sean and I playing bass and drums, and Michelle Ryder, whose birthday is coming up. Actually, physically her birthday today, and her birthday celebration this weekend. And just an amazing vocalist. So we put together this band, and we played some really interesting covers. Like, we're not at the point that we're really focused on doing any original stuff, although we could be. But it's really just, to get out and play again and to kind of constitute what we do with Barstools and Band Talk in real time. So we're talking about live music. Now we're playing live music. Come out and see us.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and see other people. Come out and play. Come out and play. And after this whole COVID bullshit, we want to get people to get back out again. That's our plan, our goal, just to get people feeling comfortable and being back out again.
Nice.
And the set list, picture this, a young Tommy Florio trying to ask somebody when he's in grade 10 or 11 to dance. And it's all over the 80s, right? But here's how I see it. Not you, right? And so that's kind of how the whole show is laid out. And, you're very fortunate that everybody knows that you can have great players. If you don't have a great singer, you're dead in the water. When you have a singer like Michelle, it opens up an awful lot more material. So it's cool. And the thing is that it was really a tool for Barstools to be able to use to promote all the bars that we're playing in.
Right.
And it's just kind of caught on, and we're getting some great support. And we have very cool logos and swag.
Nice. Well, Hard Rocket Sports here. It's our 7th anniversary show again. 7 years ago on July 31st, I did the first show. It was the first annual Hard Rocket Sports show, NFL training camp show. And I'm back here tonight, 7 years later, doing it again. And we've had a bunch of friends on tonight, starting with Sean and Dave. And they're going to tell you in about 2 seconds how to find where they are each day, each week, how you can keep up with what they're up to, websites and all that. But make sure you stick around after they're done. John Marhefka, who's in the bullpen right now, will come on in a second. We're going to break down a lot of the NFL training camp stuff. We got a little bit of Olympics. I'm going to sneak in there. We're going to talk a little bit about underwear. We got a little music at the end of the show. I want to get a couple things in. But this is all about football. But thanks, guys, for checking us out, staying with us. And make sure you come back each and every Thursday night when Jeff and I get together and do this each and every Thursday. So hang in there, guys. So who wants to give me all the websites and all that other stuff? And you're not going anywhere. I'm just going to bring John in a second, but I want to get your – and by the way, Doug Franklin's hanging there. Dougie, how are you, buddy? By the way, Doug, you were invited on tonight, and you douched me because you never even responded. So, Dougie, I hope your Cowboys lose all 16 games. And I hope Jerry Jones lives forever, and he's your GM and ruins your team, you jerk. All right. I love Doug. He's the best. But God, Dave,
two anniversaries for you now, Tommy. Hey, two anniversaries. It's the 7th anniversary for your show and your 11th anniversary with your wife. So congratulations to you, brother.
Thank you very much. Yes, we tomorrow night, my wife and I will be celebrating our 11th wedding anniversary. So thank you very much. Yes, and tonight is 7 years for the show. And she stuck through me with all of this craziness. My first show was in her sewing room staring at a wall for 45 minutes, and I didn't know what to talk about. So 7 years later.
Wait till you figure out those underwear.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I got to get a sewing again. She got to close the hole in there because it's too big. So we got to do some management things, with that.
Always commando.
Maybe a little too much information, even for the Hard Rock and Sports Show, Dave, but that's okay. So, guys, come on. Give me some websites. Doug, Dave, Sean, want somebody to give me something.
Well, start with Facebook. The Facebook, if you look at Barstools, it's Barstools in Bantock. You'll find us on Facebook. There's 6,000 people strong. From there, you'll see lots of different opportunities. The YouTube channel, you can give that, Sean.
I don't even know the YouTube channel and subscribe to it, but if you hit the little magnifying glass for Barstools in Bantock, you'll find over 170 interviews. I would encourage, and I'll, you're mentioning anniversaries and whatnot.
Yep.
There was a surprise birthday party for me last year that Dave had a hand in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go on, if there's a great reel of a whole bunch of people that at that point we had interviewed,
mm-hmm.
it's a happy birthday to me. And it was pretty cool, some of the folks that are on there. You guys know Lee Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pound for pound, probably one. I had people asking if they could have that happy birthday, and it said my name, but they just wanted the happy birthday. So.
kind of like the Farrah Fawcett poster on the wall in 1977.
Oh, God. Yeah, listen, that's a pretty good one. Yeah. Now, listen, let me get John on. Don't go nowhere. Let's get my man John Lihapka from RFO. He's the top dog at RFO Records and the sexiest man on his side of the screen. So let's get Johnny Boy. What's up, Johnny?
I'll be right back, boys.
Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Johnny Boy?
Tommy, first off, I want to say happy anniversary twice.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated on both ends. Thank you.
You know, 7 years of hard rock and sports, man. You know, I've been here for, I don't know how many, 4 years now. And
I think from close
to the sports show.
Ally, thank you very much. You know, John, it's a dubious thing. You know, 7 years on the air doing this, and I'm still doing it. Not sure sometimes how we do it every week, but we seem to do it. A lot of shows, and now it's fun. But, you know, one of the blessings has been meeting you and being semi-involved with your label. And you know, just before the show tonight, I get a message from Mick Michaels giving me the new song to play, which I will do. And just being, you know, having interviewed so many people on the label and having so much fun all the behind the scenes. So I thank you for being a part of the Hard Rock and Sports Show and letting us in the door a little bit at RFL.
Oh, anytime, you know that. And I see Dave up in the corner, too. And there's Sean right there.
Sorry, guys. Ego the size of Manhattan, honor the size of Scranton. So I apologize for that.
Well, Johnny, this is a big anniversary for you, too, John. Yeah. 5 years for RFL Records. That's a big deal, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 years. I mean, you know, we had the show, 2 weeks ago, and it still blows my mind. It's been, you know, 5 years. I mean, it's I don't even know what the word is. I mean, surreal. I don't even like using that word, but it's really what it is. You just can't even believe it. You know, things that have happened over 5 years.
Yeah, listen, John, you know, all the bands, I mean, you got a lot of stuff coming up. There's a lot of, you know, I mean, I made a list, you know, between the new album dropping, the new EP's tomorrow for Corners, right? Corners of Sanctuary, that drops tomorrow, Blood and Steel, which I heard Casualties of War, which is a great tune. I'm going to play that a little bit later. You know, you got the big, let's see, September 18th. Is that still happening? I didn't get a chance to catch it before the show. You had the RFO Records Invades Brandy's Inn. Is that still possibly happening?
That is. Corners of Sanctuary, mm-hmm. After the Fall.
Okay.
And, you know, that's going to be a great show. I mean, that's really going to be a great show.
Yep.
That's in Brandy's and Irwin. That's where I grew up, so. We're looking forward to it.
Hydrogen's Boiling Point drops on September 3rd. Love Holly's voice. And Westlake, as much as I hate to admit, he's one of my favorite. He's just one of those guys that no matter what he touches, it just sounds great. And I love him. He's such a good dude.
Good guy, yeah.
He is. He's one of my favorite people. I mean, we hit it off right from the start. And Jeff is a... To say he's a character is an understatement.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Saying that Jeff Westlake's a character is like, I ain't going to make the analogy because I'll get in trouble.
I'll say this too, Tommy, and mm-hmm. you know, with John here because I missed the first part. You know, our first, I guess, exposure to RFL was, you know, fellow countrymen of ours, Sven Galley. And, you know, we click with the RFO boys right away. And one of the things that I love, I mean, their artists are fantastic and what they're doing is fantastic. And I'm excited to continue to work with them. But I like getting in the chats where John will send a random sort of a tune that I haven't heard in years.
Uh-huh.
Doug will send the same thing. And I'm sitting there going, you know, these are my people, man. Like, they're, you know, we're not talking the new stuff. We're talking people that had to go in the studio and do it the hard way. And it's just.
Yep.
It's cool to hear some of that throwback music.
Well, yeah, I do love to see those from John. You look up and you're seeing stuff from Fate's Warning and, you know, stuff I haven't listened to in 100 years. You're like, wow, John's digging deep into the vault this week.
Well, the other thing I like about John, too, because John's like, yeah, he's so calm. But yeah, so anyway, you know, and it's like so calm, so pro. And then you bring up Mike Tomlin, and he just goes bananas.
Yes. No, what you should see is a Sunday afternoon in my house, and I'll be watching the game, and all of a sudden I'll start getting 6 messages in a row on Facebook from John completely ripping Mike Tomlin apart. And the calmest, most nicest guy I've ever met is bloodthirsty and would go down there and choke Mike Tomlin to death if he could.
Friggin' Americans. You Americans, Layla.
I'm telling you, it's the funny thing. And we'll go back and forth for half an hour, an hour, just talking about the two games. I'm watching the Giants. He's watching the Steelers. Or, you know, once in a while we're both watching the same game.
That's it. I mean, it's an NFL Sunday. I mean, Tommy and I, you know, we're like from the same mother with that one. It's you know, we're both fanatical about our teams, and even the smallest mistakes. I mean, it's just, you know, you don't know who to blame, but you got to blame somebody, and usually I point right to the coach, and that's the end of it right there.
Hey, boys, big news up here in Canada. The CFL starts tonight.
You know, I got to tell you, there was a bunch of years I watched a lot of CFL games when ESPN used to carry it a lot, and they still do. The years of Flutie was up there, or Moon was up there, and there were some good football players. It's a little different, but nothing wrong with the CFL. So I'll catch it when it comes.
Rock Johnson came from that, so.
Yeah. He got cut by the Calgary Stampeders, and he did okay. So a lot of people, Tommy, you would know that. John, you would know that too. But, you know, there's been a lot of, I guess we're kind of it's the minor league for those really super talented people that eventually find their way.
Yeah, again, listen, hey, Anthony Carey, nice to see you, brother. Yeah, listen, football's football, and whatever level it is, and I never considered it a minor league or anything, but it's just a different game. But, you know, I've watched a ton of those games, and is it the Grey Cup? I think this is what it's called.
Yep.
Is a great game. Like I said, Doug Flutie had a great career up there, and probably should have just stayed up there. Although he did come back down and have a decent career here. But so yeah, listen, nothing wrong with football. I don't care where you look. If you're playing in a hockey arena, I love watching the game. So that's although the arena football league is not my favorite thing. But
so Tommy, you touched on the Olympics earlier.
Sure.
I see the U.S. is what 29 gold and China's 34. They're 74 overall. I think the U.S. was 91 overall. So are you going to pull up your socks for what's in the U.S.?
You know, I got to tell you, I've watched a lot of the Olympics. When I was on vacation in Florida last week, I got to watch a lot of it. And, you know, I find myself, you know, it's so aggravated. I found myself rooting against some of the athletes from the U.S. because, you know, if you're going up there, you can't promote yourself over your country. You know, there's a famous line from the movie Miracle, and it's a simple one. The name on the front is much more important than the name on the back. And
yeah.
The minute people forget that, okay, and you know, the women's soccer team, I started the show off by saying, thank you to my Canadian sisters for beating the American women soccer team. Because there's a bunch of women who just are playing with the jersey on but don't appreciate it. And if you don't want to play for your country, I get it. Don't play for it. But don't put
you
the jersey on.
You said earlier, Tommy, it was a pressure was a privilege.
Yes.
That was a cool line.
I did not coin it, but after
it's your line from now on.
It is.
I
am making it my tagline for life because it's a simple phrase, but it is what it is. If you want to stand up on that stage and entertain, if you want to go on the pitches on the mound, if you want to, you know, be under center or in the crease or whatever that big moment is, you know, that's a privilege. A lot of us would die to have that moment with all that pressure on you. And if you can't perform, then get out of the way, buttercup. Let somebody else in. You know, and this whole Simone Biles thing really annoyed the crap out of me. Listen, I know mental illness is an issue. I have it. It's in my family. I understand it. But if you're not going to compete, then don't take the opportunity from somebody else. I'm sorry, guys. You know, you're all jumping on this, but it's no shame to step away. But once you take that baton, you got to run the race.
It's if you think about football, baseball, back in the day, like, you know, we'll say as recently as the 70s,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were making big money, and by big money, they weren't making that big money. I mean, you're talking, you know, hearing people having part time but jobs bagging groceries and stuff like that, and then going and playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now these kids are recruited when they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. They're told they're special from the time they can walk. A friend of mine who's a PR person in sports has a great line. You can always tell when somebody's a problem when they say they're a great hockey whatever player, but they're an even better person. That's the tip-off for this person's a problem. And, it's true. But, you know, you know, on the mental health thing, for sure, I get that. That's a tough thing. But you're right. I mean, if you think about it, there's thousands of people that are competing to try to get that spot to go over to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it was me and I'm sitting there going, and I don't want to beat up on anybody, but I couldn't go because somebody else beat me out and then they decide to not compete, I think I'd probably lose a little bit of, you know, faith in the sport, the governing body, whatever. I mean, the process, right?
Yeah. John, you can't – I'm sorry. And again, everybody's going to feel differently, and I get the wokeisms that we live in today's day and age. But, John, I can't celebrate Simone Biles for what she did because she's got mental illness. It, you know, she did what she had to do, and I get it. But then don't compete and don't take that spot from some other 18, 19-year-old person who for the last 3 years have worked their ass off and just missed making it. It just can't happen, John. If you can't handle it, don't do it.
Let's be honest, their whole life.
Agreed. But you had an opportunity 4 years ago to try to get in there. You missed. So for 3 years, you busted your ass.
Yeah.
Thank you. You busted your ass to get there, and then you missed it, John. You, I'm sorry. I can't celebrate it.
You know what's crazy about this too, Tommy, is when I saw that happened, you know, right in the beginning like that, I almost thought, hey, something different's going on here. It just doesn't seem right. I mean, this girl, you know, has never had, you know, these issues in the past. I mean, she's obviously, you know, the best of the best of the best.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, all of a sudden, then you see this happen in 2021. I mean, you know, I know it's a lot of pressure, and I get all that. But, I mean, it's really a tough situation. I mean, I think what's crazy is when you look at her and her body of work as a whole, and then you throw this part in here, you know, I know for a lot of people it's going to tarnish that legacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. You can't help but do it. And guys, we're talking with Sean and Dave from Barstools and Bad Talk. I look forward to their posts every morning when I turn on the phone. And, of course, my good friend John Marhefka from the Top Dog at RFO Records. Guys, hang out. We got plenty to get to tonight. But, guys, yeah, listen, I don't want to knock anybody for their mental illness, but I'm not going to celebrate them for it either. That's the way I look at it.
Well, this is John. John, if he was in the room, he'd punch me in the face when I'm about to say this. A lot of pan. But it came out that Tom Brady pretty much played all last season on a torn ACL. Now, say what you want about the man. But the amount of money that he made, he could have sat on the sidelines and let the backup kind of take the reins. I'm not a Tom Brady fan, although every time something happens, he surprises me in whatever outside of football. But that's the thing. You know, he signed on for a job, and he did it to the best of his abilities. And I don't know. I just sports for me right now is just so – I don't know. I have a hard time watching some of it because it's you named it, Tommy. On the back is way more important than what's on the front.
Yeah, it's just
right.
Yeah, guys, listen, and John, this is the one place that John and I disagree is on Tom Brady. I can't get him over, Dave. I can't bring him over to us onto the side of he just hates Brady, and I. And it's a lot of fun to watch John because again, John's the most mild mannered guy in the world, the sweetest, nicest man. until you bring up Tom Brady, and then it starts to you start to see the hate coming through the phone, and I crack up every time. But I get it. Listen, I'm a Tom Brady fan since he was in college, so I can't help myself. I think he's obviously the best there is. But So I mean, listen, guys, Hard Rocket Sports still here. Our 7th anniversary show, 2021 NFL training camp show. We're here every Thursday night. Jeff, myself, who Jeff's a little late tonight. He's got some people seeing his house. He's trying to sell his home, so he's got some business going on tonight. So he'll get on when he can. But we got John and John for a few moments. We're going to talk a little bit about the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll talk a little more RFL before I let the boys from Barstool and Bad Talk go. Sean, you want to give me a little Giants thought before you get going? Have you picked up enough on the early part of the season to give me some thoughts, or is it too early for you?
I think it's a little too early for me. Really like, you know, that the quarterback that replaced Eli. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Eli going in there again, kind of, you know, having this role of trying to rejuvenate the fan base, I think is killer.
Yes, I think it's a great move, yeah.
Huge move.
Yep.
You know, the quarterback, I thought the guy, you know, he did a great job last year.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, he continues to build it. A little too early for me. I mean, you know, I'll follow them no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't really know what they're going to be yet.
I think that's an easy a great observation, because I think this team is right in the middle where it could be. So I have a lot of faith that this team's going to be better than last year, but this it's not that far from a downfall team right now. Couple
Cowboys,
injuries.
We know this.
Well, that's, again, I'm only praying that at the very least win the division games, beat the Cowgirls, beat the Eagles, and I don't care. Hey, listen, I'll get thrown off the air. Nobody will ever listen to me again. But beat the Redskins. I refuse to call them the Washington Football Team. I will never do it. They're the Redskins. I don't play wokeism, and I can get in trouble for it. People don't want to listen. I could care less. They're the Redskins. So beat the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Cowgirls, and my days are set. After that, it is what it is. So, but guys, you guys got the big party this weekend, right? Give us some stuff that you guys are promoting, and then hopefully we'll be doing a roundtable soon, so we'll get together and talk even more.
We're talking about doing that next week, actually. So yeah, we have a big party for our lead singer of Michelin Hustle going on this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free event. We're looking for donations in the memory of a fallen comrade of ours, a great advocate of maritime music. His name was Ed Levick, and he was a great friend to so many musicians in this area. Just a real true gentleman, went to so many live shows. In fact, passed away going to a live show. I mean, that was the extent of his dedication towards live music. So we're trying to raise a little bit of money for him. We had an event for him about a week ago, and then another one coming up in September. So to your point too, Tommy, like you want to try and give back. Those folks are giving to you, and this gentleman gave a lot for sure. So,
well, I know you have an event, but is there a way people can donate online? Is there a way that people can donate who can't make it up to the show? People listen in our area. Do you have a GoFundMe?
We can float you. We'll float you an email address if they want to donate. You can post it on your page. That'd be fantastic.
100%. Send me the information. I want to make sure we get it out to the people down here, and we try to contribute. We run fundraisers here, and we support all these kind of events. Anybody who's worthy of it on your end, we would love to help out. So please,
awesome. I'd like to get one more show there. Sure. We're promoting, and it takes place tomorrow night. Kyle and Ryan Boudreaux, who play in a band that I play in, are doing a tribute. It's the entire Battered to Hell record. They're going to play it tomorrow night. Sold out show. And they did it about a year and a half ago to a sold out show. And they bring it. It's absolutely incredible. Dave and I are going to be there tomorrow night promoting it. We promoted it for the last couple of weeks. We've got the boys that we promote down here, Dolly Van Gogh, who are doing a fundraiser because they're trying to record an album with a very high-level producer. Two side hustle shows coming up this month, which is fantastic. And we're always on the hunt to promote, and we're always on the hunt to help RFL find that next artist. Right, John Boyle?
I'm thinking
we all know about that.
I have a conversation with our good friend John at RFL. What do you think, Sean? Warren Robert and Greg Sinclair might want to have a little conversation with John.
Already ahead of you.
These guys blew me away last weekend. I went out of my way not to watch their videos ahead of time, but oh my God, the musicianship and the lyric and the actual prowess of his voice. Amazing musicians, and I think you're going to hear this stuff for sure, John. It'll blow your mind. In the meantime, you can check us out at First Tools of Bantock. There's the logo. You'll find us online, Facebook and YouTube, Instagram. We're trying. And we're on Twitter, sort of, I guess. But you know what? We're trying to back into social media. We're doing our best to promote live music, live entertainment in all areas of, North America and the world. So we appreciate all your help. And the cross-marketing that we all do here is awesome. Tommy, you're on our show tonight. John, every time we do an RFL roundtable, you're on our show as well. We appreciate you guys so much.
No.
Well, I was just about to say, I mean, Tommy Florio's been a guy that from the get-go just – fellow Giants fan, and John and Doug were like, you're going to love Tommy. He's awesome. Tommy and I click right away.
Yep.
Chat all the time on Messenger and stuff. And, what you guys do for us to expose us down there is huge because, when Dave and I started this thing, we weren't really even thinking beyond the city limits of Halifax. It was going to be a five-week little thing that was going to be over and done with once everything opened up. And it blew out, and, it's very cool to meet folks that I've never actually met face-to-face that I feel like I've known for a million years, and that's going to continue. And it's good because I can talk to Tommy about sports and music, and I can talk to John about music and sports, and we can talk to Douglas about the Cowboys getting nervous. We're checking a lot of boxes here, boys.
Absolutely. There's a lot of boxes get checked on this ensemble, so I look forward, but I do look forward to the roundtables. I do enjoy the camaraderie that a little Fred has. And of course, listen, guys, I love having you on. You're welcome anytime. All you got to do is pick up the phone and reach out and say, I want to come on. No questions asked. You're willing. You're welcome anytime here.
Thank you, sir.
And
happy anniversary, Tommy, all the way around.
Thank you, Sean and Dave from Barstools and Bantalk. Guys, please make sure you follow these guys. I check them first thing every morning when I get to work. The first place I go is Barstools and Bantalk to catch up. So, guys,
thank you.
Much appreciated. And I'll definitely catch you guys soon.
All right.
Take care, guys.
Stay safe.
That's it. That's Dave and that's Sean. And I love having those guys around. They're a lot of fun. So. But now I got my boy John here. John, we're going to talk a little football, but I got to bring on – I have to apologize. I have to bring on my man Sleazy Top. He's a little late tonight, but I got to get him on. We're going to start talking some football. So let's get Jeff on and finish up with John. I do want to talk about a couple other RFL things before we turn you loose on football, John, all right?
You got it, Tom.
What's up there, Hefe?
Jeff.
What's up, man? How are you, John?
What's going on, man?
None. Tommy left me sitting there in the fucking breeze.
Oh, you were there. I'm supposed to disrupt the entire show? You're 45 minutes late.
I fucking told you ahead of time. I know what this is all about.
What's all about, guys?
I'm not stupid. I know what this is all about. I'm being fucking censored.
You're being censored?
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Censored. You can take the glasses off all you want.
Shut up, man. Don't make me start. Don't make me start.
You know, the four people listening in Israel right now are going to leave soon. The four people
Dak Prescott is going to be the best quarterback in the NFC East this year.
Listen to that.
John, do you know I get text messages all day? This is a text message I get all day long. It's in a mental institution.
Let me read one from Tommy.
Go ahead.
You don't mind, John. Do you mind if I read the text message from Tommy?
I love those messages because I read you guys on Facebook every day and I crack up. That's crazy.
This is from Tommy. Please stop making fun of the Giants. I actually started to cry when you made fun of Daniel Jones. Please stop. This is from Tommy.
You're showing my actual messages to John?
I didn't show them. I just read them out loud.
He just read them, yeah.
Please. Oh, here's another one. No, Barkley's going to play a whole 16 games this year. Stop the nonsense. Really. Come on. John, how are you, man?
Hey, Jeff, if you want to make him mad here, check this out. Give me 1 second here. Look at that.
Nice. Very nice.
You know how I support the whole league.
Tommy, I do have this nice story for you tomorrow. I will not say it on the air.
You won't?
But I will. But I have an explanation of what happened.
Okay.
And one that only you will truly be able to appreciate.
Okay, you got it. I'm looking forward
to it. It's one of those
running.
Things, like the day just went like this and just got fucking going, but it's all good.
We all have it. Hey, John, before we get to some football, I want to ask you about the big stream event, which I glossed over for some reason, but August 28th, you got everybody. Mojo, Alice, Mind of Fury, Pressure, Bay Bang, Hydrogen. Is Hydrogen and Westlake doing two different things on that? How does Westlake get double billing on this?
He's the star of the show, you know that. Well, actually, the whole thing behind this is it was Doug that started all this. It was actually a surprise to me.
Surprise to you?
Yeah. So they brought it up and the guys put it together. Him and Mick from Corners of Sanctuary, and they're the ones that are behind all this. I mean, I wanted to see what they were going to do, and Doug just took it and ran with it. He has Sam involved. He has Mick involved, and
wow,
it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's on Twitch TV or whatever. I mean, it sounds like I'm obviously going to be checking it out, so I'm looking forward to it. And I think that's another great thing. Lots of RFL stuff, but I got to get some football in with you before the show's over. So I'm giving you the opportunity. You got your – I see your Steelers stuff there. So, Jeff, let's let John break down the Steelers before we get to some football.
Right, but wait, I got a couple guidelines.
Oh, boy, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Here we go.
One, you cannot complain about Mike Tomlin.
Deal.
You can't complain about Mike Tomlin.
Wow.
A team that is a perennial Super Bowl contender year after year after year. With that, you cannot complain about Mike Tomlin. That's the only thing that I have. Are we cool with that?
That's the deal. I'll keep that under wraps. I'll leave that for Tommy.
Yes. Yeah. That'll be fun. I'll do all the ones. John, so listen, would you call this a make-or-break team for this – make-or-break year for this team? I mean, 40-year-old quarterback. You know, I didn't see a lot of big moves enough to keep – you know, to get it interesting now. But is this a make-or-break year? I don't see a big future for this franchise behind Big Ben when he leaves?
That's a good question, Tommy. I mean, you know, I actually thought that, the last 2 years were make or break years. I mean, you get to that certain stage, you know, that certain level, and you just can't get over the hump. And it seems like it's the same, you know, issues year after year. I mean, you know, we discussed it the other day. I mean, football, you got to be able to run the ball and you have to be able to stop the run. And it seems like late in the season, you know, these guys can't do either.
Yeah.
And you know, it's something. And another thing, too, to even point out is the bad tackling, the missed tackles. It's just like the small things, the fundamentals. And that's the reason I'm not going to say his name, but that's the reason I point him out so much is the fact that, you know, who do you blame on that? I mean, you know, you could blame all the coaches, you know, and – but fundamentally, I mean, these guys need to get things straight. You need to know where you're at. You need to know the situations. You need to, you need to be able to make plays when you need to make plays. And you can't miss tackles and give a guy an extra, you know, 5 yards and first downs, too. They can't get off the field.
Let me ask you something, John. I understand your point, what you're saying. But, I mean, being a Jet fan, believe me, I would trade places with you and take Mike Tomlin 3 years ago, all right? But here's my question, and Tommy brought it up, but he let you off the hook easy. I don't think that you got to the end of the year with Roethlisberger. I think you're going to have trouble with Roethlisberger way before midseason. What do you think the backup plan is for this team, and how do you gently – Roethlisberger is the last quarterback from that class with Rivers and Eli. How do you handle that? If you're the Steelers, how do you handle moving on from him? Do you cut him at the end of the year when these other two guys were allowed to retire pretty much? Well, Rivers was traded, but what do you foresee happening with the Steelers and Big Ben?
Well, they actually threw me a zinger too, because I was telling Tommy when they were going into the draft that, you know, after what Ben did last year, you know, and I thought that was the end. I mean, I really thought that would have been the time I would have started over personally. But then I look at it and to see what they were looking at, too. I mean, you have obviously a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, the guy still has it in the tank, maybe not entirely. But what they did was is that's what Tommy and I talked about it a few days ago. What they did was is they kind of built their draft around what he can do best. I mean, you got a stud running back, which they needed. You know, so not only do you have a guy that can run the ball, you know, but he can also, you know, he's a great receiver out of the backfield, which they needed. They needed a check down, which they could rely on, you know, a three down back. And, you know, bringing, you know, Freemuth in from Penn State, you know, they got another guy that's the check down guy. You know, so it's a little bit structured like that. The thing that I'm concerned about is how is the offensive line going to play?
Yeah,
that's one of the main.
Yeah,
probably gonna kill.
Yeah, and you know, John, you know, your division has gotten tougher. Now, I'm not a big fan of the Ravens.
I was just going to ask that question.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, I mean, the Bengals may be a year or two away, especially depending on the health of Burrow. But the Browns are going to be better this year. You know, the Ravens are going to be tough because that's who they are. But I think Cincinnati is not going to be a pushover. So, John, to me, this is a big year for the Steelers right now with a 40-year-old quarterback with nobody up coming in behind him right now. This is a big year. Tomlin's on the hot seat. And I know they talked to Big Ben about sticking around another year after this. He better come out and play really well this year. Oh, they're both on the hot seat, John.
I
agree, Tom.
Yeah, Jeff.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I love how Tommy says that, because when it was Eli – that was starting to falter. He wanted to keep Eli because I'm only bringing up what you said, that you wanted to keep Eli because of it was you don't want to just replace him with a retread. This, that,
yeah,
other thing.
I agree.
But now we got the Steelers in the same exact position,
yeah,
and they've had him 2 years longer than they have Eli.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be that much harder to just move on from him. I can't see how you move on from a quarterback like that and just like either cut him or trade him when he's there for that long. It's like a slap in the face. Like, thank you for everything you did, but go on your way. You know, so, and I don't think the Steelers kept up with the rest of the pack. I think they all took two steps forward. The Steelers were lucky to take a half a step. And I think that's going to be big. They gained a lot of ground on them.
Agree.
The other teams in that division.
I kind of think what they were looking at is how strong the defense is. I mean, you know, if you have a quarterback in there, I mean, he was their best option out of what they have right now. But I personally would have, did the rebuild.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't go that way. So, you know, now what do we have? I mean, like I said, you got to have a ball control offense. You have to have a shorter passing game because Ben just can't get it down there anymore.
Right.
You know, unfortunately. And then you don't know what kind of protection he's going to get. So you have to stick with that. And then you have to have the defense win games. And that's why I brought up earlier, you know, you need to get off the field. You need to make tackles. Mm. You need to make plays. I mean, that unit is going to be what's going to carry this team, at least in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, they're going to have to win playing defense, running the football. Now, I loved it. I loved their draft. I thought the draft was great. You know, the running back is, you couldn't have did better there. So they're going to build this team around the defense and the running game. And Ben's going to be the Peyton Manning role that Peyton's last year when he won the Super Bowl. Don't make big mistakes. Don't let him carry the team.
That's it. And that's exactly it. And I think that's what they were looking at. But Jeff had a good point, too. What are we going to do in the future? I mean, what if we get to midseason and everything just collapses? What if Roethlisberger gets hurt? You know,
Jeff, I think Jeff will finally agree with me on this one. I think most teams out there, if you lose their starter, nobody has that guy anymore. You know, back in the day.
Very few.
Yeah. So nobody has Roger Staubach and Danny White. Nobody has Phil Sims and Jeff Hostetler. You know, now you every year you got just somebody who's capable of taking snaps. So I think you can put that through the whole league. I can't think of too many teams that can lose their starter and then go ahead and take it to the next level. I don't think that's a possibility anymore, guys. I
agree with you, man. It's a big thing too, because everybody's going to be used to a certain quality of play that Roethlisberger did, and everything that he did for that team, what he stood for with that team. And if he can't handle it, it's a big drop off, without a doubt. They already proved that when he got He got hurt a couple years ago. We missed a couple games, like the last four games or something in the season in 19, I think it was. These guys get older. Nobody wants to think that they're going to be on their way out one day. But then all of a sudden the time is here. And, you know, you said, he's one bad tackle away, one twist away, and that's it. He could be done.
Yeah, listen, I think it's going to come down to playing defense, the defensive line, and Najee Harris. If they run the ball successfully, again, I think you're going to see one team. I think the Ravens are going to take a step back in that division this year. Okay. I think the Bengals are still a bad team, but they're going to be a better bad team. It's the Browns. What are the Browns this year? You know, everybody's got them, Jeff, 11-5. John, they got them, 11-5 or better, winning the division. This is the Browns year. I haven't seen it yet. So until I see it, I'm not buying into it. I still think the Steelers are the team to beat in the division right this second.
Listen, the Steelers are older. Mm-hmm. They're a year older and everything else. The Bengals, like you said, are up and coming. And I think that like you said, the Ravens, I mean, I want to see what happens with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
His second bout with COVID, how does he rebound? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, does he have a weak system, a weak immune system that he got it twice? You know, he's an athlete. You would think that his immune system would be a little bit better than what it is. So I guess time will tell with that, see how he overcomes COVID, if he overcomes COVID. But I think the team to keep an eye on in that division is going to be the Browns. Maybe not 11-5, but I think they're going to be the first place team this year.
Yeah, John.
They're solid.
Yeah.
I mean, all the way around.
I agree with that. I think, John, the one thing, I'm going to laugh when I say this, but I think the big thing that they have is they still have the best coach in that division. I know that that's tough to say. I know sometimes you would disagree with me on that point, but I think that's the biggest thing for that team right now is, I also don't think, I think people are starting to see what Lamar Jackson is and see what they've done in the playoffs to keep him mortal. I don't think he's a great throwing quarterback. He just happens to be a great athlete. So So I think people are starting to recognize that. I think it's coming to that point where he's kind of on a hot seat to take it to the next level. Otherwise, yeah, I think he's on a hot seat. I'm not saying he's good.
They're not going to get rid of him.
I didn't say they're going to get rid of him, but you know, at some point, you got to get past that next level. And you know, if they don't make the playoffs this year,
dude, look at a guy like Dan Marino. You want to talk about somebody that was on a hot seat for most of their career, made it to the Super Bowl once and lost.
Yeah, but Marino's put up 4,000 yards a year.
They're not going to put Lamar Jackson on that yet either. No way.
I'm not sure about that one. But, John, so give me some good, John. Go ahead, keep going.
Well, I'm with Jeff on, with Lamar Jackson. I mean, Tommy, we discussed that on the phone the other day. The league has been trying to build this, league of excitement, mm-hmm. and these multifaceted athletes, with guys like Lamar Jackson. And, and we look back at, Randall Cunningham, who I thought was the best.
I would agree with that.
Quarterback of that style. But,
yeah.
Now defenses, they figure this stuff out a lot quicker,
mm-hmm.
than back then. With a guy like Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's proven it. I mean, the guy's a fantastic athlete, when you look at it that way. But when you look at what he does when his running game isn't working and when he's under pressure and he's contained.
Uh-huh.
And that's where he's proven it right there. And I think, that like you said, this year, I'm not going to say it's going to be make or break for him because they're not going to get rid of him. But, I mean, I think you're going to see, what this team is really about, as far as the way they use him.
I agree. I just think that at some point, I think they're going to take the step back. I don't think they're winning the division this year, and I think they're going to struggle to win a wild card. I think there are other teams that have gotten better, and I don't think they've gotten better. I mean, you could see two wild cards. To me, you could easily see two wild card teams come out of the AFC East. I mean, I think
did you check the batteries in your carbon monoxide detector?
Why not? The Dolphins could take one, I'm not counting on the Patriots. I'm not counting them out.
I think that's the Bills division. I don't see anybody else.
No, I agree. The Bills win the division, but I don't think there's no opportunity that you couldn't get two wild card teams out of the AFC East this year.
No, I don't see it, dude.
Again, I'm not telling you that's my picks. I'm just saying that there are opportunities out there for teams,
there's opportunities in every division, of course, but I just don't see that division. Right off the bat, the Dolphins are suspect. They don't even know if Tua is their quarterback beyond game two. That's one thing. The Patriots, they drafted Mac Jones, whatever the fuck his name is,
yep.
and Cam Newton. They don't even know what's going on with him. He sucked last year. And the Jets, Christ almighty, fucking Zach Wilson looks like he belongs in eighth grade. Maybe he's getting ready to go to the fucking eighth grade formal instead of going to play football. He looks like he weighs about $145. With his stupid-ass head. So I'm not putting too much faith in there. I don't know. Maybe the three of us could go play in the AFC East and win the wild card.
I didn't put the Jets in that category. I promise you. I didn't put the Jets in that category.
If you talk the AFC East, that brings the Jets right to the top of the pit. It's just the rule.
Hard Rocket Sports, that's Jeff. I'm Tom, and that's our good friend John Mahefka. He's the top dog over at Offer Records. And, of course, the talk in the fast lane podcast, which had a great show the other night with BJ on there. So, John, you've done a great job. How does it feel being behind the mic during the shows? Have you gotten more – you seem more comfortable doing it now. I love the your body language is so good, so comfortable now. You feel like you're a seasoned pro.
It's getting better. I mean, that's why I watch you guys. I mean, it's smooth. I mean, you got to watch people that have done it for a while and see how they do it. And it's definitely more comfort. It just comes from doing it and really enjoying the people that you talk with too. I mean, BJ and that band and his band Spectra, Jeff Scott Soto took those guys under his wing and, he's worked with Jeff for so long and that's an amazing band. But it's really cool to see guys like he's not just starting out. I mean, it's a new band. But to see a guy's, a band's debut and at that level is just, it's really amazing. You know, it's great to hear him too, because he comes across, you know, he's really enthusiastic, and you can see his passion, you know, for what he's done. I mean, it's amazing.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. It was a great interview. I got to watch about probably the first 10 or 15 minutes. I listened solid, and then I was in and out doing shit for the show, but I love listening to it, and I love, you know, the RFL stuff, and I love all the stuff that's coming up. It's funny. I was going through your Facebook page just making sure I had an idea what's coming up, and I'm like, Westlake's got stuff coming out, and the Corners of Sanctuary guys got stuff coming out, and Turbo Snake just put stuff out. Jeff Carlson's got stuff, and now I'm starting to see shows, which is really even more. So between the day job and the family and RFL, there's not much time for anything else. Not much time for fishing, John, that's for sure.
It's crazy, but we are going Sunday, so I'm pretty excited about that. And there's plans to go the weekend after, so it's
nice.
Where do you go fishing for, John? Freshwater? You don't go saltwater fishing, right?
No, we're fishing. We're fishing some of the lakes around here. I mean, I hit the rivers because they're close by here, but you know, there's a couple really nice lakes about an hour and a half away.
What do you get?
Let's see. We went end of June. I mean, obviously a lot of catfish. I mean, some really big cats, perch, bass.
Perch are pretty cool to catch. I remember going fishing. I was into fishing about 30 years ago, and I went up to Pennsylvania, and perch. All you had to do was throw a line in the water. They bit at anything, but they were cool. They gave you a little bite. Just got a real thin pole, and I mean, they're only like that big, but they were cool fish to catch. You never went fishing, Tom?
I went fishing twice in my life. Only twice. Once,
I guess,
the first time I went fishing was in the St. Martin, and I went with Gary Barbario and Don Mansueto, and we were out about 20 minutes and we hooked a marlin. And we fought, the three of us taking turns, fought a marlin for about an hour and a half. And it got to about 6 feet from the boat. And Gary was on the line, and the marlin came up, shook its head, and the line came off, and off went the marlin. Physically, one of the toughest things I've ever had to do. I played sports my entire life. I've done tons of stuff. That was physically one of the toughest things I've ever had to do. Just 10 Great minutes. Time. Just trying Same to time. Holy, you can't experience it. And I, you're watching those fishing shows. You're like, that's a fish. Reel it in.
Right.
When you're behind that thing, and the guy comes flying down, throws the pole between my legs, and he goes, "Have you ever fished before?" I said, "Never fished in my entire life." Well, he said, "Get ready." And sure enough, you feel Jeff. Every muscle in my body was just like tense.
First of all, how big was the mullet?
They estimate. I'm going to say he estimated 250 pounds and like 8 feet long.
Okay. Imagine a 250-pound muscle that does nothing but swim from when it's born. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This thing is like a conditioned athlete, bro.
Oh, my God.
You ain't going to reel that thing in. Yeah. Stick with perch, man. You could come up on the shore.
That was one of my only two fishing experiences. The second one, we went out on a rowboat in the middle of a Rhode Island for 3 hours and caught nothing. So after that, it packed it up.
You caught nothing?
Middle of the lake, caught nothing. So
Jeez, that was it on me. Fishing gods hate you.
Yeah, so I said, you know what? I should have quit. I got a good fishing story. I hooked the marlin, and I should quit right there.
Actually hooked the marlin?
Well, it was on one of those charter boats. So it was the three of us. It was our wives at the time. And the guy sets up like eight poles all around. And all of a sudden you heard the line goes out. And the captain, I mean, literally comes flying up the top deck. He goes, "Sit in a chair." I sat in a chair, and he threw the pole between my legs. And he strapped it in. He goes, "You ever fished before?" I said, "Never." He goes, "Well, get lucky. Get ready. Here it comes." And I was like, holy shit. That was it. So technically, I will take credit for hooking it because I was the first guy on the pole.
And then they were reeling in all the other lines, right?
Yes, got everything out of the way.
It was going all over the fucking
place. Yeah, it was under the boat. It was, they were steering the boat, backing up, follow the fish. I'm telling you, 10 minutes, every 10 minutes we were switching off because, I was 23, 24 years old. I was probably in the best shape of my life, and I physically was exhausted. Every
fish
time.
Was kicking the shit out of 250-pound fish, bro.
Yeah, it was
fucking huge.
Yeah, it was a big ass fish.
You still have that shit in your freezer.
I think Gary this day still has the video. We had video. His wife was taking videos of it, and you see the head of this fish come up out of the water. And it just, you can see it just looks at us, shakes the head, and the hook comes flying out. Like, oh, mother effer. So Gary lost both fish. We hooked the barracuda later on, and he lost that too. So,
really?
Yes.
We couldn't have started any better than that, Tommy. Yeah. I mean, that is – went right to the top.
Yeah, exactly. So at that point, I said, screw it. I got to call it a day. Never do it again.
Dude, that's like such a big game fish.
Man. Oh, right. Horrendous.
Nice.
But that's my fishing story. But, John, give us the prediction for the season for the Steelers. Where are you putting them? First, second, how many wins, how many losses?
I'm going to say 10-6. I still
don't,
think –
Don't forget, there's 17 games this year, John.
Try
it. We'll say 10-7. We could say 11-6.
There you go. I like that better.
I think I don't know. I think I still think Cleveland is the top of the division, and the reason I say that is because of youth. You know, I mean, you get to the end of the season and you're playing against these young teams. It's tough for the older guys to handle that beating, and I think that's a lot of part of what Pittsburgh did last year. You know, you saw those guys wear out.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think they're going to contend. I think, my pick for the AFC is Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's a solid team all the way around. I just think they can do so many things well. You know, strong defense, strong on both sides of the ball. You got a great quarterback now who's seasoned. You know, he got to go through some of that last year in Allen. I hate predicting anything because it's so tough.
Well,
yeah, especially because one injury, prediction is shot.
Yeah. But I got the game. I got the Cowboy Steeler games on TV right now. John's going to probably get off and go. Are you gonna call Doug and tell him go scratch his ass? Hi, Sam Bones on. Hi, Sam. How are you? And by the way, Matt Salitri, it's preseason. I don't want to hear my Cowboys in the fumble. Please. Cowgirl fans, use the worst. Enjoy the wins now, Matt. You ain't winning many games this year.
You know what? The last thing I would want anybody on my team right now to be doing is running after a fumble in the first preseason game. I would take them out of the game. They would never play another preseason game again.
That's it.
You're like, you drop the ball, just let it fucking go. Let them run after it, kill it. When it means something, then you could go after the ball.
Exactly.
That's it. Just tag them. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Just make sure you don't run for the end zone. And if you can't get them, just let them go. It means nothing.
Exactly right.
It is. It's totally meaningless.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? It's I got it on the screen. It looks really nice. It's Cowboys Steelers Hall of Fame game. I can't see it, Jeff. I just literally turned it on as we were speaking because I saw Matt put up on Busting Balls, obviously, to create some – what? Yes, got it. I haven't seen it yet, but I guess they have a full crowd. I haven't seen a shot of the crowd yet, so I will keep I'll keep it on the screen.
Just curious.
Yeah, and I don't know anybody.
Probably will.
Yeah, so, but, John, listen, good luck with the Corners of Sanctuary. Drop it tomorrow, Blood and Steel. I love Casualties of War. Thank you, and Doug and everybody – Mick and everybody for letting me hear it and let me play it on the show. So thank you as always. And my best to you on all the stuff coming up. And, don't be a stranger, my friend. We got a lot of football to talk about this year.
Oh, you know it, Tommy. Anytime you want to talk football or you and Jeff, I mean, both of you guys, you know how much I love this show and being on and being able to talk with you guys. I mean, it's my favorite sports show. So
thanks, my brother.
Tell everybody about it. Everybody out there needs to tune in. Just keep listening. Spread the word, man.
Please,
great.
We're doing this 7 years. We got to get more than three people. We can hold the show in a phone booth at this point.
That's all right. It's a comfy phone booth.
Exactly right. But John, listen. Everybody should check out rforrecords.com. All the bands. They got the big live stream coming up on the 28th that John was surprised about. Lots of great bands. Westlake's got stuff popping. That guy's a character. And of course, tell Dougie when you talk to him on the phone, because he said he's going to call you in half an hour, tell Doug I said hello, and he didn't come on. He was the first person I invited on, and he didn't even get back and say yes or no. So tell him I said he's on the shit list right now.
I'll bust him.
There you go. Johnny Boy, I love you. Good luck with everything going on. Keep in touch, my friend.
Love you, guys. Have a good show.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, Johnny Boy.
That's
John Mahefka, RFO Records. He's the big dog over there. And a good friend of us for the show. But, Jeff, we got a lot of football talk. I spoke to Frank Jeffrey. He's going to come on next week. So I want to get to a lot of stuff. First, I want to get out there. The Barstools and Bantalk guys, they have a paypal.me/ Skin and Jones. If you want to contribute a few dollars for their big They collected some money for a dear friend who passed away, I guess for his family. So if you want to take a, if you want to send some money, paypal.me/SkinandJones to contribute. And thanks to Sean and Dave. They're good guys. I really like them. Jeff, next Wednesday night is another round table. Hopefully you'll be able to join us on that one. You've been personally invited.
It would be nice if I'm invited.
You're invited.
I'll do my best to get on there.
Yep. So while we're waiting on the half man for his new nickname before he comes on, let's do a little. First off, Jeff, how was your week?
Tom, it was a different kind of week.
Different kind of week. Which was that?
The house up for sale.
Okay.
All right, which was kind of a. Not a rush decision. We've been talking about it for a while, and it finally happened. But this week, we had a couple people come over, and, you know, interesting stuff going on with there was an interesting one today, which
okay.
I really can't get into
okay.
for specifics.
Okay.
But I'll gladly tell you the story, because I'm pretty sure that you'll pretty much think it's hysterical.
Okay.
And probably say you wish that there was a different outcome.
Okay.
Just like I would.
Okay. Okay. Looking forward to having that conversation.
Always looking forward to the show, especially the football kickoff of the football. It's like it's here already. Man.
Yeah, dude. It feels like we just did the Super Bowl show. You know.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, but I'm stoked for this year. I tell you, and I said this before the show. First off, happy anniversary to you as well. This is our 7-year anniversary.
Oh. Well, thank you.
And
happy anniversary to you, man. You're the one that created this and has kept it going. So.
Well, we do it together. And like I tell everybody, this is a 50-50 show, Jeff and I. This is our baby. We have some fun with it. But no matter what is going on, the show is built for football. I mean, I think it's, you know, went from this point in the year, July through February, you know, and of course, you got the combine, you got the draft, all the stuff we do. But this show functions and lives and breathes even bigger because of football season. Because we could just, you know, we eat it up. We'll spend 2 hours a show just talking football. And then we get everything. And I want to get a couple other things in before we get to dive into football. But I want to say again, thank you to Jim Galicchio for writing the theme song. My brother for the intro. To Joe Gandis, Nick Marino for being the producers of the show. Everybody who listens every week, I can't thank you guys enough. And every week it seems to get more and more people, thanks to people like John Marhafka, to the guys at Band Talk, Barstools and Band Talk. They're great guys. And especially my dad, who checks in every week. He was disappointed not to talk to you this week, but he said to say hello anyway. So he wished us a happy anniversary. No, listen.
Unfortunately, we had people that were interested in the house.
Uh-huh.
And, this part I could tell you on the air. We had people that were interested in the house, and they were supposed to come tomorrow at 8:00, but they were so interested in the house, they asked if they could come today at 7:00.
Uh-huh.
So we were like, well, of course, you know, whatever. And that's why they were hunkered down in my house while I was outside with my dog, who was extremely pissed off that she wasn't inside, getting rid of the threat.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's Basil.
That's
you
Basil.
You know how that goes.
Yes.
Yeah. You know how that goes.
Absolutely.
And, you know, everything we will find out maybe tomorrow if there's anything pending.
Well,
yeah?
Real quick, so if you get an offer tomorrow, but you guys haven't found a new house yet, right?
No,
so
that's
how,
the least.
Okay, so.
That's the least. I'm pretty sure that we'll find something. When we are motivated, Tom, living outdoors in the late summer, early fall wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
So we would kind of like to have shelter in place by, say, the end of October.
I would say.
To mid-November sometime, so. We have some time, but we'll make it work.
I'm sure you will, and I wish you good luck then, and I wish you good luck now. Hopefully you guys
Thank
will
you.
Find something you really love, and you'll be able to find somebody who will love to take your house. It's a nice little house, and I'm sure you won't be having that much of a hard time finding somebody to take it from you guys. So, good luck.
I'm here hoping, but that's we need to get into the heart of the matter here.
All right, so let's get into it. First, before we get to football, I got to bring it up because I talked about it before the show. It's been on there a few times. You know, I went to a little bit of a rant on the Simone Biles mental health at the Olympics. I won't bore you with my Olympic theories and stuff, but my take on it, Jeff, so you know, was, hey, if you have a mental problem and you don't think you can compete, by all means, step aside. There's no shame in your game. Do what you got to do. But the minute you step on that field and you accept the mantle or you accept the colors to go out there and compete for your country, Jeff, you got to step up. And I've been saying this through the show. Pressure is a privilege. And if you can't handle the pressure, let somebody else do it. And I have no respect for Simone Biles and what she did. And her coming back to compete at the end, who cares? As far as I'm concerned, your legacy is shot. You got it. You got a theory on this, or you want to pass right by it?
No. I got a couple things to say. First of all, I really haven't been paying any attention at all to the Olympics for a lot of different reasons.
Okay.
Mostly because of the women's soccer team. Second of all.
Which lost, thank God.
Yeah, it's the Summer Olympics, so I find them kind of boring. I like the Winter Olympics
okay.
a lot better. But I will say this much. This woman, these are people that train from as far back as they possibly can to get ready for this moment and get into the Olympics to represent your country and to be the best in the world at what you do, to go for a gold medal, something that people, if you win it, in a strong fashion, people will always remember your name. People will always remember Bruce Jenner and everything that he did.
Yep.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But that's another story for another day. Back to this young lady.
Okay.
If you felt as though that you're not going to be able to do it, then why let people think that you're going to go through it and go there and compete in the events that you were supposed to compete in, all of them, and try to win the gold medal instead of just turning around and saying, you know what? Let somebody else go who could be behind this 110%. I don't want to take away from somebody else.
Agreed.
Maybe somebody else missed out on being on the Olympic team by 1/1000th of a second.
Yeah.
Okay? Because maybe they had an extra bite of toast and it slowed them down. You know what I mean? So, like, you got to think who could have replaced her all of that good stuff. But Don't hold back somebody else. Don't, because you're not sure of what's going on. If you have an issue and you don't think that you're going to be 100% into it, step out. Let the next guy go in and let them have a fighting chance. You know, it sucks, but don't go there to champion your cause. I don't think that that's cool at all.
Yeah, and I certainly can't celebrate her doing it. I'm sorry. I don't think it's caused any. I mean, she's such a hero for. Highlighting mentalist. No, she's mental, and she's yeah. That's my point.
Well, you know what? Every day, then I should be a fucking hero and a half. You should be a hero and a half. How about this? Gee, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to pay the mortgage on time because I don't get paid till the second. It's due the first. You know, my wife hates me right now because I stained her shirt, and you know, it makes me depressed because I this, that, and the other thing. Like, just everyday life depresses everybody, and you know. I understand it's a shame that you had some problems. It's a shame what happened to her, but, you know, come on. Like you said, you're there. You know that you were going where you would end up being if you won all the time trials and everything else that you had to win to get to that position, but you allowed yourself to get to that position, and you're like, nah, I'm not. I can't do it. That's not fair to everybody else behind you that could have been there.
I agreed, and the teammates that went out there for you and the whole bit, so – I'm not celebrating it. I don't think it's a great thing. I'm just not going to sit there and applaud her doing it. So, you know, I think it tarnishes her legacy, in my opinion. And if I were her teammates, or yes, even more so, Jeff, if I'm the woman, if I'm the girl who got left off if I'm the last person who didn't get onto the team and could have had that opportunity, yeah, I'm going to be a little pissed off. At that. So something I want to get to. Let's get to football, Jeff. This is what we're doing here. It's a 2021 NFL training camp show. This is what we do. Let's get into football. And I was going to go, Aaron Rodgers. I want to get that out of the way. Did you listen to the press conference at all this week? Did you hear his press conference?
No. And the reason I didn't is because I hate to admit this.
Go ahead.
And I don't hate to admit this because of who said it, but I hate to admit it because you turned out to be 100% right. Aaron Rodgers kind of like did this for attention. It's like he threw a hissy fit, and then all of a sudden they did something to appease him. And it's like, well, Okay. I'll come back then. So what was the point of all of this? Why did you throw your hissy fit on draft night? You know, was this something to take to take away from everything else the team was going through or whatever? Like, I don't understand that. I don't understand it. It turns out, kudos to you for getting it pretty much right, hitting it right on the head. They did something with his contract, and all of a sudden he was happy again. But are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, he sat there in his press conference saying how he wanted to teach them that they should teach, that they should treat former players better. Like he's, oh, they released so-and-so, and they didn't go for this guy a better contract. And I
so
said,
in other words, you had no idea what the fuck you were talking about. You just dicked out.
Yeah.
And did it. That's all.
And again, it's all about me. And I got to tell you, I'm a quiet Packer fan. I like the Packers. I always root for them. If they're not playing the Giants, you know, I'm in. I will tell you that as long as he's on that team, I won't root for the Packers. I have to root against them. I think he's a douchebag. You know, here's what I would say. You know, if I had a chance to interview Aaron Rodgers or talk to him, I would say, Aaron, you want to be the GM? What gives you the right to be the GM? What if the GM came down and said, hey, Aaron, you're not throwing that ball in the flat well. I think you should do this. Let me take a run over there and take a shot at it. He would tell him, get the frig off the field. You're not a quarterback. You're not a GM. You don't know anything about it. You know, you want to keep your friends around. That doesn't work this way. And there's a reason why you've been to the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row, and you lost it because you played like shit. So that's what I would say if I was talking to Aaron Rodgers, Jeff. And
listen, Tom, it's you can't disagree with it. You can't disagree with it. You threw up illusions about your team. You became the back page champion for a couple of weeks. Everybody was like, well, what's happening now? And it was all analyzing. It was everything just blew up about that.
Yeah. And
after a while, it was like so tired of hearing it because what was the problem? How can you hold an organization hostage?
Yeah.
Because now you set a precedent there. You set a precedent there. So that means the next person is going to try the same shit somewhere down the line.
I agree.
And I just don't think it's right. It's not right.
I agree. I agree with you 100%, Jeff. So we'll get to more about the – when we go through the divisions a little bit, we'll try to run through the divisions if we have time. And listen, guys, football starts now. So we'll be going through football for the next 6 months. So sit back and, get your drink. We'll be doing a lot of football in the near future. So hang in there, Jeff and Tom on the Hot Rocket Sports Show. Jeff, let's talk about the top stories in the NFL right now. Going to the thing – Aaron Rodgers is probably or was probably the biggest story in the NFL going in. But right now, I got a few stories that I think I'm curious. You have any stories you want? You want to go first? You want me to go first?
You go first. You're bringing it up. Go ahead. I got my stories.
Okay. My first big story, obviously, is Deshaun Watson. And these are in no particular order. It's curious. He showed up to camp. He's been at every practice except for one or two. I don't think he's practiced very much. My question is, at what point does the NFL tell the Texans whether he can play or not? And at this point, with everything that's going on, Jeff, can they let him play?
That's a good question. I know that the Texans will all of a sudden now open to trading him.
Yeah, they have to be.
Of course. I mean, you're so stupid. You could have let this guy go. I mean, I'm sure if they had an inkling of what was going to happen, of course they would have done this. They would have traded him.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, it is what it is. I'm sure there's a lot of teams that came close and were probably like, oh, thank God, saying no meters every day that they didn't have enough.
Your team's wanted them. Your team's wanted them. You were a proponent a little bit of them making that trade. Thank God.
Yes, I was. But the reason I was is because if they had given up three of those four picks to get Watson, okay, well, before we knew all of this.
Sure, of course.
Two of them could have been Seattle's picks.
Yes.
So to me, you're playing like, so in other words, you traded one number one and Jamal Adams for Deshaun Watson. I think that's a championship trade in your favor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, but it is what it is, and it didn't happen, thank God.
Thank God. So that's my first story, Jeff. My second one is welcome back fans. And I will tell you, I think it's a huge story. I think the fans being back, I've seen a lot of interviews. The players seem pumped about it. It's a sign of semi-normalness, although we're all hearing about these different mask mandates that might happen. And remind me to tell you, I got a little vaccination story to tell you, but I think the fans being back in
vaccination.
Well, a vaccination. I'll give you some. I'll give you some details there. That's up. Well, I'll stop right now and tell it to you real quick. So I told you about my wife has to have the was mandated to basically threatened with termination if she didn't get it.
Yeah,
so
I'm getting that too.
Yeah. So my wife, since we've been back from Florida, has really been, beside herself, not wanting to do it, but not wanting to lose her job. We've talked about every scenario in the world. We've talked about everything else. And turned out today, my wife went to work. It's her last day before. She has about a week off now. Just schedule works that way. And she decided to go get the vaccination and got it. And I had made her a promise that if she went and got vaccinated, that in support of her, I would get vaccinated as well. So I will be getting the vaccination against her better judgment. But to support my wife and be a good partner, I am going to do it now for her. So, because that's where
listen,
it's headed.
Listen, there is no right, there is no wrong.
Nope.
Because we don't know.
Nope.
Okay?
Agreed.
I feel the same way as you do. You know that.
Yep.
Okay? So, but I am also in a different position.
Mm-hmm.
My wife went and got the vaccine.
Right.
And I stood behind her and her decision.
Right.
I wish that she didn't have to.
Right.
But she was kind of going to be in the same boat that I'm in, where you were going to have to get it.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Right.
So now it's up to me. Mm-hmm. I can either go for tests that it looks like I'm going to have to start going for tests on my own time, or I could just go get the vaccine.
Right.
And whatever, and just hope that I make it through the vaccine and whatever. So I still don't know what I'm going to do as of yet. My wife tried talking me into it yesterday, but I may have no choice, because if they turn around and they make it a federal mandate, who knows what's going to happen? Are they going to threaten people's driver's license? I have a federal driver's license, CDL.
Right.
It's not a state driver's license. I may have no choice if I feel as though that I'm going to continue to work, which I have no choice but to continue to work.
Right.
I may have to go get it. You know, listen, Tom, I applaud you for standing behind your wife without a doubt. And I think that's a very cool thing on your part.
Yeah.
But you didn't just push her in and be like, well, good luck, sweetie. And you got that website for those Russian mail order brides by any chance? Just in case, you know what I mean?
Just in case. Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. We are celebrating our 11th wedding anniversary tomorrow, Jeff. So I'm hoping she doesn't sprout a tail. That's all I can say.
Well, you better hope that she don't sprout something else. Yeah. I guess who's going to be the missus tonight.
Very true. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom. All right, so
did you get any mail?
Yes, the mail did come. It has not been dispersed yet, but we did get the mail. Yes, we got
maybe
back.
Maybe tomorrow it'll be dispersed.
It's very possible tomorrow night the mail will be dispersed. So we'll keep you updated on that one. So we got welcome back. Welcome back fans for me, Jeff. I think having fans back in the building will make it seem more like football again. Would you agree?
Well, yeah. Course, without a doubt. Listen, we've talked about this for a year.
Yep.
Okay, and we felt as though that they should have opened up a lot, hell of a lot sooner than what they did.
Yep.
And it's just every single time that things get going and the wheels start to move, somebody else throws a fucking wrench in the works. But you know what? Let the fans back in. Fauci already said there's going to be no more lockdowns. You know what? We're going to let you have the final say and whatever.
Yep.
You want to go, by all means, go.
Yeah.
You don't want to go, stay home.
That's it. I couldn't agree more. So welcome back, fans. My second one, I'm going to say social justice and gay football players is my next one, big story. Again, we're still dealing with the social justice. I don't know to what extent. So I think that's important. And I think it's a big story, Jeff, because I'm curious now. You know, last year, the NFL did a lot of things with nobody in the building and no repercussions. I'm curious, you know, if the quote-unquote Black National Anthem is played first or second and some people kneel for the regular anthem, how will the everyday folk take, you know, to the Black National Anthem? Will there be booing? Will people turn their backs? Will nothing happen? I think it's a big story that probably won't get told because you're probably going to – The networks are probably going to ignore it, and the only thing you'll see is on social media.
You're going to hear the story, I think, but like, yeah, I agree. I don't think that it's going to be told
yes.
live on TV, but you're going to hear about it. You're going to read about
yes.
it. You're going to see clips about it.
Yep.
You're going to see it.
Yeah. I'm curious to see, you know, I don't know how it's going to happen. If that goes first or the regular national anthem goes first, but I think if you start to see people disrespecting, especially the players during the national anthem, I'm curious to see how the everyday folk in New Jersey and, in Florida, you know, how they react to the initial anthem being played. And if that gets covered by the networks or, you know, I think social media will have a lot of fans posting stuff about it, but I'm curious to see how that plays out. And I hope it's not an issue, but I think it will be an issue this year.
Probably.
So that's my second one. That's my third story. My next story will be, again, we talked about a little bit, NFL forcing players to get vaccinated or penalizing teams severely this year with not only forfeit games, Jeff, but penalizing both teams where both teams won't get paid to do it.
Yeah, it's fucked up, man.
Yep. So I think that's a big one. And again, as always, it'll always be in there, Jeff, it's the quarterbacks. You know, Carson Wentz out five weeks. I think it's 5 to 12 weeks. What happens there? Can Jalen Hurts handle the pressure in Philadelphia? Is it Drew Lock versus what's his name? Bridgewater, Wimpson or Tamson Hill? What happens now with Aaron Rodgers? Can Sam Darnold resurrect his career? How long does Jimmy Garoppolo hold off Trey Lance? Is it Foles, Fields, or Dalton? You know, and listen, my own backyard, Danny Dimes. It's a big year. To me, the big story is quarterbacks, Jeff. Which of those quarterbacks steps up and has the big years, Jeff?
I don't know, dude. There's a lot of questions as far as quarterbacks, and I'll tell you the truth. On our lists, as much as they're different, they're always somewhat similar, and that is definitely a category that I touch base on with mine. You know,
yeah.
So. Everybody wants to know. I mean, listen, quarterbacks, you got Rodgers, you got Big Ben. Is he going to make it throughout the season?
Yeah.
Tom Brady at 43, what happens? Is Donald, like you said, is he worth it? The Wilsons, both Russell and Zach.
Yeah, big
question. How is Russell going to be looked upon this year? Zach Wilson, is he an NFL quarterback? Donald, is he going to make it? I say no. Stafford and Goff.
That's a good one. I forgot about that. That's a good one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston and whoever down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot going on. Now, let's throw another wrench into work real quick. Phillip Rivers has said that he's open to the idea of coming back.
Yeah.
RG3 just signed a contract with ESPN, had a provision put in his contract that he can go back to the NFL if he was offered a job. So we both were interested in the quarterbacks, without a doubt. Number two for me, the hot seat, I got to go with the Giants team.
I agree.
The entire team from general manager, not so much the coach, but general manager, a lot of different players, Barkley, Jones, Galladay, you know, big free agent signing, the kid that they got out of wherever it was, the wide receiver. They stacked up on wide receivers, but it ain't going to mean anything if that line can't block and Jones can't throw the ball. So that would be the hot seat for me.
Okay.
Third, the shift of power in the AFC North. I'm thinking that it's trending more towards Bengals and Browns and Ravens than it is Steelers.
I agree with you on that. I agree. I do agree with you.
I'm going to say this year I'm going to go Browns, Ravens, Steelers, Bengals. And the only reason I'm not bringing the Bengals up, I think they're going to be a better team, but the reason they're not in third or second is because Joe Burrow was coming back from an injury. So I think that it's going to take some time for him to get acclimated. Number four, I kept this one in a category all his own, Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Guy just sustained a fucking foot injury. What is this, like third out of fifth season, five seasons he's been in the league that he's had an injury? Is this the last stop for him?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Rivers go back to the Colts.
Yeah, listen, that's a possibility ability that you could see him midseason. He said he wants to finish up his coach in high school, his son's high school team. But yeah, I could see a scenario where, you know, right now, you know, who's quarterback in it? He's out 5 weeks or better. Carson Wentz.
Well, right now, Phillip Rivers did say that if he had to show up to camp, he'd be considered overweight. So God knows how much he's packed on. But bringing up the rear, and number five is one that I'm surprised you didn't make mention of.
Which is?
But 17 games.
Oh, yeah. Good, good
out
call.
Of the 17 game.
Good call.
What does it do to the schedule, to the season, especially with COVID? I think the NFL is insane for enacting a 17th game during a pandemic. And then tell the players, well, listen, if the guys on that team can't make it, you're not getting paid either.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, fuck you. I'm getting paid one way or another. You got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah. Listen, it's, but again, agreed to by the players union.
NFLPA, right?
Yeah, they've agreed to this. So, you know, here it is, Jeff. This is simply a way to try to get more of the players vaccinated. And, you know, the idea is if 85% of the team is vaccinated and you have problems, you're okay. You don't forfeit any money. And they're going to force these kids to get it. That's what this is all about. It's a bullying tactic. I don't care what anybody tells me, whether it's the city of New York.
It's bullying across the board.
Yes.
However you want to say it,
absolutely.
Whatever you want to say, this is bullying across the board.
100%.
Okay. When everything was okay and everything was fine, and they said that we need 70% and everything will be fine.
Yep.
And they were falling short. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, it's like the evil stuff started to happen. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's just unbelievable what they're doing.
I agree.
It's not right.
Nope.
It's not right.
I agree.
It's not right.
And again, whether it's, you know, the NFL doing it to players or, you know, the city of New York doing it to their workers like yourself or my wife's hospital, you know, they got the gun to your head and, they can tell you all you want that it's a choice and freedom. I'll tell you a quick story. I went to food shop Sunday. I got back from Florida Friday night, relaxed all day on Saturday. Sunday, I decided to go food shop early in the morning, and there's about 10 miles up the road, right off the exit 9, there's a Walmart. I like to go there. They have a little bit of everything. I like their meat selection. And regardless, I go walking in like any other day, and a woman comes running up to me with one of those just fake masks that they give out, those cheap masks. And she goes, sir, we recommend that you wear a mask. So I said, I'm sorry, I didn't see a sign. Do you do I have to wear a mask? No, sir, we recommend that you wear a mask. I said, so do I have to wear a mask? She said, well, we do recommend you wear a mask. So I said, can I shop here if I don't have a mask? She said, no, we recommend you wear a mask. I said, so you're not recommending me. You're ordering me to wear a mask. No, sir, we just recommend. So can I shop here without the mask? You cannot shop without the mask. I said, then you're not recommending me. You're ordering me, and I'm not going to shop here. I left the cart. I walked out. I drove 3 miles down the road to another Walmart, Jeff, walked in the door. Nobody asked me to wear a mask.
Amazing.
It's no rhyme or reason. Nothing on the door. Nothing says, hey, we want you to wear a mask. We recommend. Okay, you're not recommending. You're telling me I have to. No, we're recommending. You're not recommending. So
amazing.
Yeah, so that's – I literally walked out. I said, I'll go someplace else to shop. I will find someplace that doesn't require me to wear a mask, gives me the option because that's what life's all about. I should have an option. But we don't have the option.
Well, listen, you know what, dude? I went into a store a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was not Target. TJ Maxx.
Okay.
TJ Maxx Home Goods.
Okay.
Okay. So I didn't have a mask with me. And this was like at the very first, when they were first dropping the masks.
Yep.
So I went in and there was some girl in the front and I seen her. Or did I have the mask in my pocket? I might have had the mask in my pocket. And I was like, I held it up. I was like, do I have to wear this? That's what I had in my pocket. So do I have to wear this in here? And she goes, no, you don't have to wear it. But we would rather, and like she started to tell me that they would rather. So I was just like, oh, cool. Thank you. And I just got
walked away. Yeah.
Well, I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm not putting this fucking mask on. You know, for how long I went in there, how do they know there's a variant?
Yeah.
And how are they testing it to see if people even fucking have it? Is there a special test for this Delta variant?
I get it. Believe me. How did it get here? How do we got it? To me, this is just another way to control things, and I'm sorry, I'm not buying it anymore.
You know how it got here?
How?
I'll tell you how it got here.
Sure.
Because you're allowing people, you're making people wear masks and everything else, which is lowering their resistance to certain things. Then all of a sudden, you're telling people that they could take the mask off and everything else. And what happens? Lo and behold, now there's the Delta variant.
Yeah.
Now, what would have happened if they turned around and they were like, you know what? Stop with the masks. Stop with the masks.
Mm-hmm.
The disease, the virus isn't as strong as it once was. It's getting weaker.
Mm-hmm.
The more healthy people we have, the more people that get it and beat it, the sooner we put it to sleep and we're done with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
What do you think happens to colds in the wintertime?
Absolutely.
By the time the spring comes, it done. You know, all you did now, at this point in time, the way they handled this, is are we going to wear masks forever? Because that's what it certainly fucking seems like.
That's
at this point.
Yeah, because, again, what I tell people all the time, you told me that if you got a shot, you're fine. What does it matter if I wear a mask or I have a shot? And I can't get answers to it. Nobody can answer it because they haven't figured it out. And it's just they're throwing darts at a wall and whatever. So it is what it is. But it's annoying. And I told people fight back. And like I said, how do you fight? I mean, at this point, I don't know how you fight back. I really don't. So I haven't given up, and I never will.
What you need is for every single person that, you know what? Every single person that they say you need to get this shot or you don't have a job.
Right.
Fuck you. I'm not getting it. Every single person needs to turn around and say, I'm not getting it. Fuck you.
That's the problem. And my wife feels the same way as you do, but they're not. There's too many people saying yes. And people just going, okay, whatever they say I should do, I'll do it. And, you know, me, I'll fight to the death. But like I said, support my wife is what I'm doing. But let's stay on football a little bit. I want to talk about the football. Before we get too far out, I want to go back to some of the quarterbacks you brought up. And two in particular is Goff and Stafford. You know, a lot of people, Jeff, are picking the Rams to be the team to beat or the team that will beat the Buccaneers. And a lot of it is because they feel that there's a huge upgrade at quarterback from Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff. I think there's an upgrade. I don't know if it's big enough. And I think that the Rams will maybe a better team. But I'm not throwing my hat in the ring to say that this is also a Super Bowl team because they got Matthew Stafford. You have a thought on that thought?
Matthew Stafford, I believe, has a sub 500 record.
Probably
has been in the playoffs once or twice, at least once, maybe twice in his career. Has not won a playoff game, and they're turning around and calling him better than Jared Goff.
Right.
Goff has gone to a Super Bowl. And, I mean, I think that's all being lost. I think everything that Goff has done is being lost and disregarded.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he's the next Tom Brady or Peyton Manning.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, okay? But the guy made it to the fucking Super Bowl in, what, his third or fourth year?
Third year, I think, yeah.
Okay? That's got to say something. It says something to me, at least.
Absolutely.
Okay? I just don't understand what it is that's going on with these people, why all of a sudden Matthew Stafford couldn't get his team out of last place, but he's going to bring the Rams to the Super Bowl and possibly win it. I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's that good. And not for nothing, he's on the wrong side of 30.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Okay. When is all of a sudden, are they going to turn around and be like, oh, wow, we didn't see this coming now, did we? This guy's fucking declining already. It's week three, and he sucks.
Yeah, listen, I think there will be an upgrade. I don't know enough that the Rams are also now going to be the team to beat the Buccaneers, and we'll get to the Bucs in a little bit. But that's an interesting one. I know you're not huge on the Sam Darnold thing. Do you think there's any chance young team, new coach – you know, new environment that maybe kind of reinvigorates. Do you think he has any shot of salvaging his career or being what he was supposed to be?
What was he supposed to be?
Well, Sam Darnold was supposed to be the next great quarterback, Jeff. I mean, something ever sucked for Sam. Everybody thought, and I said it from the beginning, he had one great game and a decent season, and everybody had him as to be the next, a superstar, and I didn't see it. So, I mean, is there a chance going down there, new environment, new coach, any chance he reinvigorates and even gets to be an adequate NFL quarterback?
To me, the only difference between him and Mark Sanchez because their career with the Jets kind of mirrored one another.
Okay.
Is just that Sam Darnold has got orange hair and his boyish good looks, where Mark Sanchez had dark hair and was a, you know, suave, debonair young man. All right? Neither one of them, in my eyes, really did much.
Right.
Because what's his face? Donald, he has a chance. Yeah, but I just don't see it. I do not see it. I never felt confident with him on the field, just like I never felt confident
mm-hmm.
with Sanchez on the field, even though Sanchez did have a couple decent years. But,
yep.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that was averaging anywhere from 170 to 200 yards a game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think he threw for 300 yards once or twice, same as Donald.
Sanchez had the luxury of having a really good running game, a great offensive line. Right? I mean, that was a great offensive line. Mawai.
Yes, it was. But you know what?
Yeah.
Even with all of those tools,
mm-hmm.
you just never – you always knew
yes.
that he was not going to turn around and say, all right, guys, listen, let's get this done.
I got
okay?
this. Yeah.
We need to get
you,
this
you
done.
Never felt like yeah. he said, I got this. Let's go.
Exactly.
You're right. I agree.
And it never happened.
No, you're right.
Donald looks like he even had less. At least Sanchez went to the playoffs his first 2 years.
Correct.
And the AFC Championship game at that.
Correct.
Donald – I'm sorry, man. I just have no confidence in that guy at all.
Okay. Now, I think there's going to be a major step backwards for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, it can't help. And listen, you lost a legendary quarterback, a guy who's broken records. Either one of these guys can take and keep this team at the top of the division, Jeff, because I got to tell you, I think that there's a bottoming out coming for the New Orleans Saints.
I will say this much, okay? I don't think it's going to be Hill. If the team can turn it around and do anything, it's going to happen with Winston.
Okay.
It's going to be, and the reason I say this is because, what the fuck is his name? Breeze
yep.
had the tools.
Okay.
But Sean Payton was able to bring him up and bring him out to the next level and everything else.
Okay.
And help make him the star that he was. If Winston has it in him, and he could be a better quarterback, I think Sean Payton will get it out of him. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Breeze. I'm not saying he's.
You just think he's going to be a better. You just think he's going to be a better quarterback.
He could be. You know, he did throw for 30 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, but 30 interceptions.
Yes, very good.
Okay, so those aren't exactly numbers that people just go out every year and hit for the sake of hitting. You know, 30 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. All right, the 30 interceptions. You know, nobody wants to see that. But cut down on the interceptions. Let me ask you something.
Got it.
Winston comes out, throws for 4,800 yards, 33 touchdown passes, and 15 interceptions. What do you say to that?
What's the record?
What do you mean, what's the
record? What's
their
record? What are they, 10-7? They 11
even at 10-7.
Okay, I'd say he had a good season, and he's made a huge upgrade.
So you would actually give him credit
sure.
for a season like that.
Absolutely. And he needs to, because I think with Tom...
He needs to, without a doubt.
Yeah,
he's out of the NFL.
No, but here's why I say it, Jeff, because here's a guy, you pointed out perfectly, his stats were better than average to a certain extent, and we can knock this fact that, let's say, he didn't take advantage, but you got a 40-something-year-old quarterback comes in the year after him and takes that exactly same team to a Super Bowl. You know, so to me, that's a big, big knock on Winston to say, hey, this team was Super Bowl ready. You were the problem.
Yes, but you know, want to know something, Tom? As much as I agree with you there, because you're 100% right, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're still talking about Tom Brady
absolutely.
Versus Jameis Winston.
100%.
If you took Tom Brady at any given time in his career and you put him against Baker Mayfield, the kid from Arizona now.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Deshaun Watson. Any younger
mm-hmm.
Brady is still, at any age, is still going to fucking be better than
No, I'm not disagreeing with that. But what I'm saying, though, is, and again, if Winston took them to the playoffs and they failed, I'd say
Brady,
yeah.
Brady went there with Gronk, which is a big thing for them. I mean, come on, man. It's their teammates for years. And have been through fucking wars together.
Yeah, but he had Goodwin. He had